Okay, we'll reopen our session. We had closed the session to talk negotiations on city's acquisition of electric service territory. Would look for a motion to move forward with the acquisition of People Electric Cooperative's service territory discussed, and it's in South...
South Fork and the Windsor Court area.
South Fork and Windsor Court area.
Make a motion to approve.
Do we have a motion? Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Motion second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Oppose? Okay, thank you everybody for that. Personnel, there's none. Attorney?
I do have something. Hopefully it will be quick. But I got a call from the, an attorney from Frederickson and Byron, who is working along with a national environmental litigator on some of the PFAS litigation. So there is a lawsuit that Kasson is a part of because it hasn't opted out of this lawsuit already. It is where the city could be entitled to some funds if they're found to have PFAS in their water supply. So the reason why I apologize, I did not have a chance to talk to Tim about this. There is a deadline coming up, January 1st of 2026. It's the deadline to submit your claim to be reimbursed for testing your water to find out your water sources, to find out whether or not there is any PFAS level. And I understand that that testing is, it would be paid for by the attorney's office, but then they would submit a claim, and part of the settlement is that those costs get reimbursed. So essentially it's Frederickson and Byron law firm looking to have to have the city represent, or have to represent the city in filing this claim and getting any funds that the city might be entitled to as a result of the PFAS litigation. So even if the water levels, the PFAS levels in your water sources are zero now, you establish this baseline testing, and if those levels rise within the next 5 years, because you might be entitled to additional compensation up until 2030 if your levels rise, they would help with, this law firm would help the city, essentially represent the city in submitting those claims for reimbursement. As I understand it, it's a contingency fee, so they would require, or it's a one-third, so whatever the city would get, they would get a third of, but they would pay the costs. They would pay for the testing.
So are you recommending that we move forward with them?
Well, I think it would be, have you had any contact with anyone about any of this?
So I did get a call from Joe Broman, who's out of Eagle Lake, who was an attorney over there, who I think he's working with one of the larger firms too.
Okay.
And I think his wife is the city administrator in Eagle Lake, and okay. So I think he was kind of doing the rounds with all the city administrators that she knows.
Yep.
And Joe actually is from Blue Earth, so I knew him from down there. Okay. He had his office down there for a while. But that's the only person I've talked to, and that was maybe 3 months ago.
Okay.
And I said, hey, you know, contact me if you're, you know, we can talk about it.
Yep.
And that was pretty much it.
Okay.
So I know it's an issue, and I know like the Southeast Metro cities, like Cottage Grove and folks up there where 3M had a ton of PFAS in the water have had a lot of issues.
So if we have them tested and they pay the fees, and then 5 years down the road and we're still low, it didn't cost us nothing.
Correct.
So to me, that's almost like an insurance. Because if we have no issues, they already paid to test it. We didn't have to pay nothing.
You don't have a baseline either.
Right.
That's a big deal.
And then, so I think we benefit from this, because there's no upfront cost. Yeah, we could lose a third of what we get, but we could lose nothing if we have no issues. So we gain, you know.
The only thing I would, if, you know, if there's another attorney's office who would do it at a, you know, more favorable, at a lower contingency, that would be worth exploring, but I don't see a downside to it, to the city. One of the other things that they mentioned was that unlike the recovery that cities have gotten in opioid claims, you can use this money that you get for anything. There's no limitations on it as far as how you could use it. And I just couldn't think of a downside. I did reach out, because I initially thought, oh, well, what if you don't get, can your claim be denied to be reimbursed for the cost of the testing? And the attorney's office said, well, you know, certainly it's possible, but then it would be on us because we would eat that cost. So that was the only potential downside that I could think of in the 4 or 5 days that...
But they need an answer by...
The 1st?
January 1st. So that would be, the city would have to hire them. And I, you know, they'd have time to get things, to get it done, get the testing done. They'd indicated that they would be able to get it done, but it's the holidays, and so the longer you wait, the harder it gets.
Sure.
Sure.
I mean, I don't really like...
I don't like last minute.
Extra lawsuits. Nothing against attorneys, but... I do think if it would be something that would be beneficial potentially for protecting our residents,
mm-hmm.
it would be valuable.
So, and we are a member of that lawsuit because we didn't opt out.
And it's at no cost to us.
Yeah.
Upfront, I mean, but...
I couldn't think of a downside to it, but giving away, you know, the one-third, to have someone who's working... you know, with the nation, it's called a multi-district litigation, MDL, when you're dealing with different federal districts.
Sounds like some John Grisham kind of action there a little
bit. Yeah, and it's not anything that I'm familiar with. In the federal court, while I've been licensed to practice in federal court, I've never once appeared, not once.
Okay.
So it's well outside of my wheelhouse.
So then we'd be hiring somebody anyways.
Yeah.
And then we have upfront costs then.
Yeah.
Which...
I don't see a downside.
Okay.
But this is also the first time staff has heard this as well.
Sure.
So
I wish we had more time to look at it, is my only.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like they're pushing it on you that way, but...
Mm-hmm.
But do you know the probability of our levels being high? Does anybody ever...
No, Dave, before he retired, did do some testing, because obviously we were cognizant of the issues they're having up in Washington County and Dakota County, and I don't think that he found a significant amount. Certainly when he reported to me, he didn't. Otherwise, we would have taken some mitigation.
Yeah, yeah. But what if? So that's where, you know, I don't have the magic.
Is that a 3M thing?
No, the PFAS up there was mostly 3M related. Some of it's naturally occurring. You know, there is some in different rock types and things like that, but for them it was mostly the Teflon that they dumped into the rivers.
There
are
different manufacturers too, so there are a number of lawsuits. 3M is one of
the Remember the 3M.
And this one was mostly the firefighting foam was where these problem chemicals are found and used. So training facilities where fire departments did training facilities.
I know down in La Crosse, you know, the airport, French Island, had where they spray down everything when it's burning, and it gets washed into the wetlands then. That's huge, like terrible.
Yeah.
A lot of the military bases that I was on when I was involved, you know, they had a lot of PFAS because of all the chemicals they used in the 50s and 60s still. So. We probably are.
We are.
Zumbro is.
Yep.
So.
There's a possibility. I don't like that it's not much time to look at it, but I think that we're going to benefit you know, we gotta look out for all citizens.
Right.
You know? That's just kinda where I think, I don't know. If we don't have to spend any money, and we might not, you know, maybe the levels, once you get your base and 5 years down the road and our levels are still low, you know, it's a win. And if they come back and say they're high, then it's a win. So I think we're gonna win.
If they went up bad enough, we would have to treat it.
Yeah.
So that would be something where, that's where we probably put the money, would be a water treatment facility, cause you know, right now we just do the wells.
So I guess I would look at it, it's kinda like a win either way, but.
In any way, do we have to include in Manorville?
What's that?
Yeah.
Court part, that's where this tile at.
Do we have to include Manorville in any way since we're treating their water too?
We treat their sewer, we don't do their water.
We just do their sewer.
Okay, alright.
So.
I mean, I'm sure that these folks are probably reaching out to their attorney too, I don't know who their attorney is on there.
Okay. Is there any more questions? I'm assuming we're gonna be looking for a motion probably.
Yeah, I, perhaps to just give, to give city staff the ability to hire them. If they, if, unless you are, find something that makes you, that causes you any concerns.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you have information you could share with me, but yeah, I mean, if, I guess that what we're looking for is direct staff to pursue some sort of potential claim, utilizing some sort of firm, whether it's this firm or another one that's more advantageous to us.
Sure.
Okay.
I would make the motion to move forward with looking into this and.
To give the staff the direction to move?
I'll second that.
So we have a motion and we have a second to have staff move forward and to the PFAS investigation and, yeah.
PFAS investigation?
Yes, litigation, so. So we have a motion, we have a second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye, pose. Then if staff can come back with some more information.
Certainly will.
By January.
Yep. If I get anything earlier, you know, I'll talk with Melanie about it and we can forward it out to you in the meantime, so.
Perfect. Correspondence, is there any questions or concerns in there? Not. Round table, for Sheldon, that's just something we've add, like every month, usually the second meeting we allow. We discuss stuff, we, concerns, but no action is taken. It's just things that we can bring up, things we've heard, things we wanna look into, and then we can add them to agenda down the road.
Oh.
So we just like to have it, sometimes we have nothing, sometimes we have good. It's a nice little icebreaker to bring things up that you ain't sure who you should ask.
Right.
We try to, that's something Tim had brought and we kinda enjoy it. There's some things that we've come up that we didn't realize.
You know, I didn't really go through my report.
Oh, sorry.
So maybe I'll go through that just a little bit, doesn't matter too much, cause we've talked about a lot of the things there. Service territory, the budget. I did wanna highlight, I forwarded out to you all today, there's that training coming up for the League of Minnesota Cities, I know Ryan said you wouldn't be able to make it, but I know, you know, Sheldon, for example, if you wanted to go, you know, the council has a budget for that, for trainings, and I know it's been a few years. So if you wanted to, you certainly could, you know, I know, I think last year we actually had 4 out of 5 that went, so it was a pretty well attended, and I think there is some value out of it.
There's two dates, February 6th and 7th in Plymouth, and 20th and 21st in Alexandria.
That's right.
Yeah, I'll get those dates.
I wanted to highlight the Minnesota budget, they had their forecast come out, last week. Some positives in the short term, they are carrying a surplus in the 25-26 budgets. They're carrying about $5 billion shortfall in the 27-28, so I'm hopeful that they take that surplus and push it forward into the next biennium, because that'll reduce the number of, I mean, it makes sense to take that money and push it forward. The solar for public buildings grants, I wanted to highlight that, so, I think I forwarded it out to everybody also, and you have it in your packet. We did receive, about $1.3 million in grants, from the state of Minnesota. So there are 14 sites that will be putting, solar on. And the nice thing about that is it's behind the meter, so it acts kinda like a residential solar account, so we don't have to worry about the interconnection agreement with Xcel there. And that's gonna help reduce our peaks in all of our solar, in our buildings, so it should reduce our costs. 70% of that's being paid for by the state of Minnesota, and 30% of it's being paid for by the federal government. So there may be some small engineering costs that we have to pay that come out of pocket or the electric permit, but otherwise, I mean, amazing, you know. We can talk about whether the program itself is always the most beneficial, because it may not be the most efficient way to spend, you know, the state's money, but I feel like our taxpayers deserve us to go out and get those grants, so we're really glad we got those.
And we were awarded every one we applied for.
That's right, yeah, so we, as staff, we felt really good about that. Council's aware of the well two issues that we had, mentioned, you know, thankfully Mike is, Bolster is doing well, he's feeling fine. We did have to shut that well down, and we do think that it's gonna be going through a maintenance cycle probably for the next 3 months, which it correlates well with water, you know, lower water usage, so it's not gonna be a problem on the water system, but, we do have to, the League of Minnesota Cities is probably gonna have an insurance claim there for that failure of that chlorine tank. So, anyway, other than that, I don't have anything else to add, other than we already talked about tonight, so I'd take any questions anybody had. Otherwise, thank you.
Is there any roundtable items for this evening? Okay, then with that, I would take a motion to adjourn.
I'll make the motion.
We have a motion, we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you, everybody.
Have a good holiday, if I don't see you again.
Yeah.
Christmas, Merry Christmas, everybody.
You.